I'm Ed Preston. I'm also a religious science practitioner at the Celebration Center in Falls Church. I've been there a little over 20 years and know a number of you who used to be there too. I think I was there actually before Connie came, but not much before. When Connie sent out the readings for today, and I read them a couple of times, and as I was reading, an expression kept coming into my mind that was from our founding minister at the Celebration Center, Noel McGinnis. I don't think you... Did you know him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you were there ahead of me. And this expression just kept coming into my mind every time I went back through the readings for today. And I just decided that was going to have to become the title of my talk today. So that is, you got to want what you got before you get what you want. And as I read the articles, I started seeing it come up in various places through there. So I'm just going to call that for today's talk sort of synchronicity lesson number one. And that's, you got to want what you got before you get what you want. Synchronicity is something that I'm very much into in my life now. I've been amazed at the things that happen synchronistically. Even including things like people who go on Abe cruises with you to Mexico and then show up years later in your life. So I love synchronicities. And as I was going into this, I was distracted from thinking about money and planning and business and so on for this talk by Memorial Day last weekend. I spent 20 years in the Army. I'm retired. I was a Vietnam vet. Memorial Days can be sort of serious holidays for me. And on top of that, last weekend I was also the platform practitioner at the Celebration Center. So I really sort of did more looking around and reading things about Memorial Day than I usually do. And then on Memorial Day, I always read the Washington Post in the morning. The first thing that hit me that day, and this is the synchronicity, was the front page headline article was titled, "You Do What You Gotta Do." And it was about a Air Force Master Sergeant who was a triple amputee. And he had been asked to be the parade marshal for a parade in his hometown for Memorial Day. And he didn't want to have people looking at him as an amputee. But he finally decided his answer was, you do what you got to do. And so he did it. So I read that and I just thought, oh, that goes right along with synchronicity number one. So now we're back where you got to go what you got to, you got to do what you got to do to get before you get what you want, and then you got to do what you got to do. The next synchronicity that came along as I was trying to get ready for this was right after the service last Sunday at the center, the memorial service. I was in the back of the sanctuary. And I saw this big box of magazines and books there. And I thought, what's that doing in the sanctuary? And I asked somebody that. And she said, oh, somebody dropped that off early for the yard sale that's coming up in 2 weeks. And I thought, oh. And I looked at it, and one of the books was really thick. And I thought, what in the world can be that thick? It was 781 pages. And I just thought, oh, I got to see what that is. The New Century Family Money Book by Jonathan D. Bond. I thought to myself, that's synchronicity number three. So I decided I had to take this home and see what's in it about money and business. I spent a fair amount of time browsing it. It was written back in the early 90s, so it's close to 20 years old. But in my browsing of it, and I spent quite a bit of time going through the whole thing rather fast, I decided this is one of the best books I've ever seen on personal financial management and planning. And it takes you all the way through life. The things you got to do as a, you know, when you're still in school and getting ready to go to work, the way you got to learn to deal with money, then what you do when you're going to college or getting your education completed and then looking for jobs, and it takes you all the way through that, getting married, having children, getting divorced if that happens to you. And he talks about the financial implications of all of these things and the things you've got to pay attention to financially as you do them all. And it's really an amazing book. The main message in it, though, that I wanted to use today is a theme that goes all the way through it. And he has a chapter on it up near the beginning of the book to talk about this theme. And I decided that's got to be one of the major lessons for my talk today, too, to go with what I've already given you. So that's in chapter 7. He defines this, and he says, I'll put it, this is exactly what he says. The single most important key to achieving financial security, : live beneath your means. Now, that's a succinct way of saying something that I used to teach regularly. I used to teach a lot of classes at the Celebration Center, the spiritual mind classes. And the one I taught most often, actually, was financial management, or financial freedom was the title of it. And one of the themes that I harped on every time I taught that course and insisted people get into their head was that when you're looking at money in your life, you got to start by simply in deciding how to use it and what to do with it. First, you tithe to your spiritual sources. Second, you tithe to yourself long-term for long-term savings and towards retirement. And then you live on 80% or less of the money you have available every month. And you got to do that. That goes along exactly with what his message is about you live under your means. He put that very succinctly. So when you put those all together with what I'd already got, and I modified it slightly for this, you got to want what you got before you get what you want. Then you got to do what you got to do. And always, you got to live with less and save a lot. So that's sort of the complete message today for living. just as a contrast to that, I looked for one-liners on the internet about money. And there's one that's sort of a contrast to that, but the wording of it goes along because it's got "ots" in it. The tax man says, "We got what it takes to take what you got." And that's one of the things he deals with all the way through here. He constantly talks about how to deal with tax implications of various things and how to, you know, pay your taxes and love the fact that you're doing it. So I recommend that book. And just another one-liner I sort of got off the internet again that goes along with this, you got to live on less and save a lot. What leads most people into debt?
Doing what seems culturally popular.
Okay, well, this one-liner is trying to catch up with people who are already there. And that goes along with one of his lessons. another synchronicity in my life as I got into this was having Ann, our longtime friend, come and stay with us. And we've done a lot of talking and find that easy. I've found as we've gotten, and we've gotten to know her recently much better than we knew her 20 years ago even, because we've had so many conversations. And I've discovered that spiritually we're very compatible. But in most other ways, especially when it comes to jobs, business, and career, and money, we're totally different. She's been an entrepreneur, self-employed all of her life, mostly as a counselor of one kind or another. I thought anybody who wanted to be in business for themselves and be an entrepreneur was stark raving crazy.
Just half of my life,
then. Okay, well, the last half, though. I ended up 20 years in the Army, small cog in a big machine. And then I got out and spent 20 more years doing technical and computer work and so on as a small cog in another big machine. But it had a security to it financially that appealed to me. And being an entrepreneur and taking risks just scares me still. So I've really enjoyed the conversations that we've had with Ann. And there was another synchronicity that came up just before Memorial Day. There was an article in the Washington Post about a man down near Eastern Market in D.C. That was foreclosed. And they came and took his house away from him and put all of his belongings out on the curb. And the basic story was about how the neighbors came together and got organized and rescued all of his stuff and saved it for him. And the article sort of ended with it sort of in undetermined about where this is going to lead to, because they didn't know what he was going to be able to do to get his stuff back and have a place for it and that kind of thing. But they really stepped forward and became community by doing that. And when I read that article in the paper, it reminded me of a story that Ann has, because she lost her house in a foreclosure about 9 months ago. And her neighbors did the same thing to a large degree. They stepped out and helped rescue all of her stuff, and you know, it's now in storage and that kind of thing. So she was supported by her neighborhood the same way this guy was. And I just thought that was what triggered me in saying, I want to talk to Ann about business and money. So I asked her if she would read these two papers by Ernest Holmes, and I gave them to her, and she did. Well, that led to discussions then all this past week. I'm not going to go into the details of those discussions, but one of the things I learned from it is that you can learn, even at the age of 75, you can learn an awful lot about yourself by talking to other people on the same subject and comparing and contrasting your reactions. So I strongly recommend to any of you, if you're having financial issues or career issues, job issues, and that kind of thing in your life, find opportunities to talk to other people and to explore, especially your history. What if you have a certain fear of something or a certain attitude about money or jobs and that kind of thing, look at your history and talk about what happened when you were growing up or when you were coming out of college or various things like that that sort of influence how you feel now about these things. And it's amazing what you can learn, especially when you have that opportunity to contrast it with somebody else. So I encourage you to do that. And we're going to give you a small opportunity to do that after the talk's over and the next music. So that was another synchronicity just for me, just having Ann there at the house with us this week. The final one was sort of came up because Diane spent an awful lot of time sitting there listening to Ann and I talk about money and sometimes joining the conversation herself. And suddenly last Thursday, she looked at me and said, are you still going to talk about that you got to want what you got before you get what you want? And I said, yes. She said, well, have you seen this? She pulled out a book. John Gray, some of you may know him. How to Get What You Want and Want What You Have. Right down the same line. John Gray is a guy that Diane and I know very well. We spent years working with him back in the 80s. When he was just doing small work, you know, this is before he became famous publishing books and stuff, when he was just doing small workshops. And we would work for 4 months to get a workshop going for him and attract, you know, anywhere from 30 to 90 people. But we worked with him for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. And Diane and I now attribute an awful lot of our success in life, both romantically and as a couple and financially and just in all ways, the things we learned and resolved in our lives when we were doing all that work with John Gray. So I started browsing this book then, which I didn't know about this book. And I started browsing this book. And I highly recommend it also. He's got one point that I think adds particularly to what I wanted to nail down here. Because he talks about people who turn out to be very successful getting what they want. And the more successful they are, the more they run into the phenomena where they get something that they finally want then. And the first thing that happens is their consciousness and attention shifts to getting the next thing they want. And they're totally focused on getting something new. And they lose all their concepts of enjoying what they have and loving what they have, wanting what you got. And he talks about that, you know, much in this book. So I would highly recommend this book also. And to come to money, I actually went and Googled both of these books and Amazon. I found one copy of this on Amazon for 99 cents. However, shipping might be and this, I think, was $10 or $11 or something like that, paperback. Just sort of a final point. Another saying we have in religious science is, first you treat, and then you move your feet. Nowadays, and when you're dealing with a topic like this, there's a couple of missing pieces in that, however. Because many of you probably know by now, in religious science, we have three what I would call sacred practices or spiritual practices that we teach and get people to do. Treatment or prayer is one of them. But the others are meditation and visioning. Now, became just a, I don't know, 10 years ago, visioning became a third one. We used to do just treatment and meditation. So when we talk about first you treat and then you move your feet, before you really move your feet, you really need to treat and meditate and vision. The treating sort of helps you set intention. And it's not just, it doesn't have to be, it shouldn't be, just intention about what you want to get. It should also be intention about how you want to enjoy and love what you have. Uh-oh. I did that the last time I talked to you. So you start with treating. And that helps set the intentions and sort of points you in the right direction. Then meditation can come in there. Meditation is one of the tools that really allows you to go into your inner places of peace. Find that peaceful place where you know you are perfect, whole, and complete in the present moment. We talk a lot about that in religious science. And the more you meditate, the more you come to have the capability of knowing that about yourself, that you are perfect, whole, and complete. And as you get that inside, that's one of the things that makes it possible to love what you got already, who you are, what you are, and where you are now. And that's one of the things that Ernest Holmes deals with a lot. Then you, so after meditation then you go to visioning. Visioning is where you engage your intuition to move it forward into your consciousness and allow it to start guiding your next steps. And that's what gets you started on the path to get what you want. So visioning is a very powerful tool for doing that. So when you get into religious science and science of mind and you start studying these things and you really get into doing the three spiritual practices that we say everybody should be doing, you basically then have the tools that you need. And those are the tools that will help you succeed at, you got to want what you got before you get what you want. You got to, then you got to do what you got to do. And finally, you always got to live on less and save a lot. And you've got the tools to do that. Okay, that's it. After we have some music and whatever else is next.
We have a break.
A break. And then music. And then we'll. I want to have Connie divide us up into small groups. Since we've got 16, maybe four groups. Four apiece or something like that. And then I have a couple of questions that we'll just go around the circle and everybody just sort of try to answer that first question about yourself. And I'll just tell you what the questions are ahead of time, but then I'll pass out a copy so every group has a copy of the questions to pass around with them. The first question is, what are your feelings about being a self-employed entrepreneur versus being a worker or manager in a big corporation or in a company? And what possible practical, psychological, or spiritual insights might knowing that give you about yourself and what, how you want to change your life or keep your life going? The second one is on the other side of our assignments for today. It's about money. And there I'm just asking you to think about what are some of your earliest memories about money, your learning about how to get it and how to use money. And where'd your feelings about that come from, especially if you can go back into either childhood or early adulthood? And then think about what practical, psychological, and spiritual insights might you derive from those memories and those things that you learn about. And this is sort of just to get you started on the idea that you can learn a lot about yourself in this area by simply talking to other people, both in terms of having your story heard by others and yourself listening to yourself, and then that contrast with what other people are going through also, and you really do learn from it. So that's it.
Thank you.